Well, one thing for sure is God has blessed us with some beautiful weather today. The sun has been shining, the birds have been chirping, and I just hope tomorrow is as beautiful as today. I know that many of us have plans to get together with family and friends and to just have some fun and fellowship together. Tomorrow, of course, being Memorial Day, a day in which we, as our country, come together to remember. I mean, most people think about Memorial Days and they think about more hot dogs sold on Memorial Day than any other day of the year. It's a fact. You can look it up. But there's a lot more to Memorial Day than hot dogs, isn't there? It's a day about remembering those that have given their lives for the freedoms we enjoy, about those who fight daily for our country. Now, I've had the opportunity to be raised or reared in a military family, so maybe my appreciation might differ from some others. But a lot of my family have fought, and matter of fact, as far back as our country's history, there are relatives of mine who have fought in all the wars. My brother, he's been in the Marines going on 9 years. He's been deployed numerous times. Got another cousin of mine who flies the Apache for the Army, many, many others. Most all my family's retired military or still in some form of service, so I just ask tomorrow, as you're sitting around with your family and friends, it's a good time to eat hot dogs. But also remember the meaning behind that day and those who fight for our freedom, as we do every day for our Lord. Every first day we remember the sacrifice He made for our spiritual freedom. We don't want to forget that or take it lightly. If you did not pick up one of the handouts provided in the back on the podium, I would encourage you to get one at least before you leave. Let this be a starting point and not a stopping point for our study. I want to take a little bit of time with you today, and I want to study with you about the idea that you can't hide from the light. You can't hide from the light. You'll notice on the screen there we have a bulb, and in the middle of that bulb you find a cross that is illuminating. And you find the words next to it, "Let it shine." And indeed, it would be good if all of us would go through life with that concept in mind, that as we would receive the light of Jesus in our life, as we would receive the light of the cross, that we in return would show that light to others. Amen? That we would share that light with others. As God blesses us, we in turn become a blessing. As God enlightens us, we in turn learn to enlighten others. I want to notice with you here, if you have one of the handouts, you'll notice here that each one of our points will come from Mark chapter 4 tonight. And if you'll notice with me as we get started, I want to go ahead and read the verses through which our lesson comes. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, and I want to read down through verse 25 with you. As we get started tonight, you can't hide from the light. Consider with me. "Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which cannot be revealed, nor is there anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him." Truly, light, though, is a wonderful thing. You know, when I prepared this lesson, I've had the opportunity, maybe some of you have had the opportunity to go to a cavern or a cave, and I can remember one time I was visiting my grandfather. He lives in Austin, Texas, and I'm not sure exactly where the cave or the cavern was, but we got on an old cart train, you know, the old coal carts, kind of what it looked like. And we went way into this cave, this cavern, and you went under a waterfall and a couple cool things. And we got in there, we were gone probably an hour or so, we're pretty far into this cavern, and they turned out all the lights. And the guy said that because we were so far underground, because there was no illumination, there was literally no light down there, that the average individual, if he remained down there for an extended period of time, his body would work so hard to try to see. His senses would become so in tune, he would literally lose his mind. And none of us stayed long enough to find out if it was true. But then he said, to show your point, I want everyone to do this. I want you to put your thumb on your nose and then wiggle your fingers and see if you can see any of them at all. And about that time, he turned on the lights, and everyone got a good laugh, as you could imagine. But it was amazing to me to consider the concept of what would it be like to be in a world without light. You know, some things are hard enough to do in the lights. They're hard enough to do when I can see. Even when I can see, I bump my knee. Even when I can see, I stump my toe. Even when I can see, I spill my drink. But what about a world without light? What about a world with no clarity, with no real vision? I don't know about you, but I, for one, wouldn't want to live in a world of utter darkness. Everyone would be stumbling around in the darkness. Jesus, on numerous occasions, would say, if the blind leads the blind, they both fall into the ditch. We wouldn't be able to get much done. Almost everything we do, consider this with me, almost everything we do requires light, doesn't it? Imagine next time you go to the doctor for surgery and he says, all right, someone, don't turn on the lights, turn off the lights. Would you be a little frantic? Would you be kind of panic? I know I would be. Get out the lights. Don't turn them off, my friend. I want you to see what you're doing. I had the opportunity when I was in school, Florida School of Preaching in Lakeland. I guess you call it an opportunity. But I was there 2004, 2005. And 2005 was like Hurricane Central for Florida, if you recall. Other parts of the country as well. But we had three Category 4 hurricanes come over Central Florida in 1 year. If you've ever been in Florida when a hurricane comes, they're not always fun. We had a saying for school, it was no power, cold showers. That was our theme for the year. But we had 9 days. I lived in Auburndale, about 25 minutes from Lakeland. We had 9 days in Auburndale without electricity. Now, I know some people, they go on mission trips. A good friend of mine, one of my teachers, Ted Willer, is in Ghana, Africa right now. And he's been going to Ghana for about 25 years. And where they go into Ghana, Africa, the best source of power you ever have is the generator you bring with you. That's it, buddy. When you run out of gas, that's lights out. But here, we today, most of us, at least in our country, we're very familiar with the concept of lights, artificial light, sunlight, and many other. We got windows and other things to allow the penetration of light. But I can tell you that those 9 days when I was in school, and the interesting thing was, is 9 days without power, you think they'd cancel class, right? But instead, they decided that what we would do, even though gas was $5 a gallon at the time, and it took about 10 gas stations to find one that had gas, and then you waited in line for 2 hours. They decided here, if the power's out in Auburndale, we'll have the students go to Lakeland. If the power's out in Lakeland, we'll have them go to some other place. So here we are, we're playing musical chairs, driving around to all these places. Cold showers, no power. And of course, me and my friend, good friend of mine, roommate of the time, George Franklin, we had 2 flashlights and 3 candles. 9 days without power. Needless to say, our flashlights made it about a day and a half. We ate real good that day because everything in the freezer we cooked on the grill. We ate real good, even invited over the neighbors because it was far more food than we could eat. But by about the third day, the batteries were dead and the candles were getting a little bit dim. And I remember that what we could do, and here it's pretty hot. You ever been in Florida? And now, the summer we were out of class, but even when you're in May, even in August, it is hot, very hot and humid. And when you don't have a fan and your air conditioner is not working, it makes for a rough day. But I can tell you, it really gave me a different concept of how blessed we are to live in a country with so many wonderful things, with beautiful buildings, with lights and many luxuries. And it helped me to appreciate better what it means to have the light of Jesus. Imagine driving a car for a moment. The other day, I was driving my car, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before, and I had went and dropped off a movie. We had gotten a pizza and a movie. And I drove all the way home, and then guess what I realized? I had my parking lights on. I didn't have the headlights on. And I was wondering why a couple people flashed their lights at me. I just thought they liked me. I'm just a likable guy. But I realized when I got home what the problem was. I didn't have my lights. Now, thankfully, there's enough lights on the road and people in front and beside me. It didn't matter too much. But imagine if we had no lights. The danger it would be. My father lives in Louisiana. And one thing I can tell you about Louisiana, if you think the roads in Springfield and Illinois are bad, go to Louisiana. You'll appreciate them better. He lives in Shreveport, Bossier City, Shreveport area. But they have no lines on the road, and they don't even have an idea of what a light outside is. Road lights, nah, don't have them. Stop lights, if you're lucky, every once in a while. But it's hard to see. It's easy to drive right off the road. Imagine cooking without light. Imagine working. We would get very little done. The sad truth, though, is that many are doing exactly this. They're going through life with the lights out, spiritually speaking. Isn't that sad? Here it is, they're as bad as we were. There are cold showers and no powers. But we did it because we had to. They're choosing to. They're choosing to suffer. They're choosing to stumble. They're choosing to be anemic. When the ability, the power's there, but they won't access it. John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil, he hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth, he comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. From the beginning, though, there's been a contrast between light and darkness all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. You know, it's amazing to me, if you remember the songs of creation, day one, God made light when there was none. Interesting enough, it's not till day 4 that the stars, the moon, are created and the sun is created. What is amazing to me, though, is an illustration of what light is found in verse number 1 and 2. It tells me here, if I want to define and describe to someone what is light, consider with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And here it is, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And the Lord said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is emptiness. It's nothingness. Light is substance. Consider with me. Notice here, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And He divided the light from the darkness, and He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." There's a story that is told about a young boy that goes to Europe. He goes on a summer vacation. He goes with his parents and he gets to visit the old cathedrals of the past. As he visits it one after another, he sees the stained glass portraits of the disciples. Upon returning home, his Sunday school teacher asks him, "What did you like the most about your trip?" And he says, "The portraits of the disciples." Well, the teacher then asks him, "Well, what is a disciple?" And the young boy, he says, "A disciple is a person that lets the light shine through." I think he got it right. Amen? The light of Jesus. The light that enables our life. 4 points. We'll move quickly. And the lesson will be yours tonight. You can't hide from the light. Point number one. Light has purpose. Let's begin by reading together here the words of Jesus. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, after He there tells us the Beatitudes, if you're going to have an attitude, those are the ones you ought to be. Verse 13, Christian influence, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14 and 16, he continues the Christian influence. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a basket, under a bed, but on a lampstand, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Our light, though, is of no use if we're unwilling to share it with others. Consider that with me. I have here my little lamp. It's on the refrigerator upstairs. I'm not sure whose it is. But it's light in here, so we don't really need this lamp. But if it wasn't, this little lamp could make a tremendous impact. It could make a tremendous difference. And my wife was supposed to bring my flashlight, but she forgot it. But You'll notice this lamp, this one does two things. It lights up around you, but it also works as a flashlight. Pretty cool, right? To point where you're going. As Christians, though, are to be shining among men. As Christians are to be out shining among men. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, and he said unto them, is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? A lamp shines the brightest, though, in the darkest place. And that's an amazing concept. When a light is to be of any use, it was to be placed. Would a light be of any use if it was placed under a basket or a bed? And obviously that defeats the purpose. Now think about that sometime. If you only let your light shine in church, if you only let it shine around fellow Christians, how bright can it be? How much illumination can there be? How much difference can it make? When the light's already on, you turn on the light, it doesn't make much of a difference. But when you allow that light to shine in the darkness, then you see a change that's apparent to all that are there. Would a light be of any use if placed under a basket or a bed? But what if it's placed on a candlestick? That's the question. How many of you remember the song, This Little Light of Mine? You guys know the song, don't you? This little light of mine, many different versions of it, many different verses. Some would say, all around the neighborhood, I won't let Satan blow it out. Let it shine till Jesus comes, right? Each one of them illustrating a point. The point that as we go out in the life, as we go out in the world of darkness, the devil is said to be the prince of darkness. Jesus is said to be the light of the world. You see the contrast, don't you? Here, one's going to cause you to stumble. The other's going to help you see. One's going to cause pain. The other's going to help you overcome that pain and punishment. The point, though, of the song is that I'm going to let it shine. We begun with the slide, let it shine. Let's learn to let the light of Jesus shine in our lives. The purpose of light is to bring people out of darkness. That's the whole purpose. God saw that it was dark. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. There's a need. Purpose of light is to dispel the darkness. It is only by the power of light, though, that we can overcome the darkness. I believe that's important for us. Don't become guilty, though, of hiding from the light. This can be hiding it from ourselves, or it could be hiding it from others. Here, that light's only going to help us when we hold it up, when we hold it out. It'll help us. It'll also help others. There are things to put off and there's things to put on. Robert actually mentioned this passage, at least some of it in his message this morning. Here, if you're a child of God, you've got to put off the works of darkness. You've got to put on the light of Jesus, my friend. Put on the armor of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a change that has to take place. Point two. Number one, it has purpose. Number two, it has power. When faced with light, one of two things, I believe, will always, without exception, one of two things will happen. One will either remain in the light by dispelling the darkness. That's what we hope you do, amen? We hope that's your decision. We hope that's what you do. Hey, sir. Or one will seek to hide from the light because they're living in darkness. As we've seen in Matthew chapter 3, that those that lived in wickedness and worldliness, that they would hide from the light. Interesting statistics say that most crimes, guess when they're committed? At night, in the darkness, or at least in the covering of darkness. When we come to contact with the light, though, we find out where we are. Psalms 119, verse 105, your homework for the week, of course, is to memorize that chapter. It's only 170 verses. But verse 105, the Bible tells us, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word will show you where you're at tonight, regardless of where that is, whether it's in the Word or the world. It's a light unto your path. It'll show you where you're going, whether it's heaven or hell. God's Word will tell you. It will enlighten you. The question is when you see, what will you do? A lamp unto our feet, where I'm at, and a light to our path, where we're going. It's important to remember, though, that it is only in the light, though, that salvation is found. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. A key word, of course, in this verse is that little word, two-letter word, if, which is a conjunction. It is a conditional particle, meaning that here what follows is only true if one meets the condition. In logic, we would call this an if-then syllogism. If this is true, notice here, if we walk in the light, then, this would be implied, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And interesting enough, that idea of the cleansing of sins in the perfect tense, which means it keeps on cleansing us as I keep on walking in the light. But as that is true, the opposite is equally true. If I stop walking in the light, the blood of Jesus stops cleansing me from sin. So we see what is so important for us. Light has the power to overcome darkness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar, special people, that you may proclaim the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy but have now obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe, the light you shine, glorify God in the day of visitation. Point number 3. Light has privilege. The threefold privilege of light. Number 1, caution. Pay attention to what you hear, Jesus says. Pay attention. Let me caution you. Let me allow you to see the need. Also, there's counsel given. With the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. If you give a little, guess what you get? You get a little. If you give a lot, guess what you get? You get a lot. You reap what you sow accordingly. And it's also comforted. And still more will be added to you. Light is one of those things that the more you share it, the more you get. The less you share it, the less you get. Truly, it is a great privilege, though, to be a child of light. But with this privilege comes responsibility, as with all privileges that God has given. With the privilege, with the blessing, there's also a responsibility. Light gives us the ability to see clearly. It gives us the direction that we need. It gives us the means to teach others. We will be held accountable for each of these. Last point in the lesson is yours tonight. You can't hide from the light. Light has purpose, it has power, it has privilege, and it has promise, my friend. Verse 25, there Jesus tells us, "For whosoever has, to him more will be given, and whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Would you rather have more, or would you rather have less in your life? I know when I think about this, there's very few things I want less of. There are a few. I want less trouble. I want less temptation. I want less trials. But most things, as they say, more is better, right? At least to some degree. And when it comes to God and it comes to the light, it's always better to have more of God and more light in your life. To understand this verse, I believe it is helpful to understand where else it is found. Interesting enough, verse here, 25 of Mark 4. An almost identical verse is found elsewhere in the Bible earlier in Matthew's Gospel. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 29, if you look it up there, they're almost the same. The principle is identical. There in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verse 14 through verse number 30, where you read there about a master, and he goes away and he gives to each of his servants an amount of money, a talent given to them. And there one goes out and he trades accordingly. The other goes out and he trades accordingly, and they double what their master gave them, and the reward for both of them is the same, though the amount is different. And then there's that wicked and slothful servant. You remember the one that went out and hid the Lord's money, hid the light, rather than sharing it with others? Consider with me. These two verses, though, in the original, it's amazing how closely they are identical to one another. To understand one, I believe, is to help you understand the other. The more I understand one is the more I understand the other. As found in both of these, the message for us is this. Jesus says this, use it or you will lose it. I've had the opportunity to learn quite a few languages. We just had a bunch of books brought over to the house, homeschool books. And Joel's been running around for a couple days with Spanish 2 books. And I keep trying to tell him, you need one first. Now, I took Spanish in school, but I know about this much because I don't use it. So guess what I've done? I've lost it. When I lived in Okinawa, Japan, I lived there for 4 years. I had a culture class. In my culture class, I was not allowed to speak English. The only thing I could speak was Japanese. And you know what I know now? I know Skoshi, little. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. That's important for us. Having truth decay, one has said, then brush up on the Bible. Amen? You know, our life is what we do with it. It's what we make of it. There's a promise, though. The more we abide in the light, the brighter, the better it gets. The less we abide in the light, the darker it gets. The truth about light is this. When you go out and you share this light with others, you don't run out of light. By turning on the light, you don't run out of light. But rather, you get more light to share with them. You're enlightened to further the light. And that's important for us. See, our internet's not wanting to cooperate. But if we just shut up inside us, then over time the light will die out in us. Consider that with me. If you put it under a basket, what do you have? Nothing useful. If you put it under a bed, what do you have? You might as well not even have a light. If it's under the bed where no one can see it, you might as well not even lit it to begin with because it's useless. It's empty. It's meaningless. It's not helpful in the least bit. But if we shut it up inside us, I don't know what this thing wants to do. But in conclusion tonight, if you're here and you're not yet a child of God, we want you to have the ability to come to the light, to come to the knowledge of the truth of God in your life, turn away from a sin of darkness and pain, to come to know Jesus. If you believe in Him, we encourage you to act upon that belief, to turn away from sin, to confess His name among men, to be baptized into Christ, to have your sins forgiven. And if you are a child of God, I want to remind you once more of the words of 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if you walk in the light as He, as Jesus, is in the light, you have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from sin. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, that opportunity is yours tonight. If you are a Christian, maybe you've wandered away from Him. Maybe you've wandered back into darkness. I encourage you to get back on track, to get back on the path again. Maybe you simply need the prayers of the church. We're here to pray with you. We're here to pray for you tonight. If we can help you in any way, we ask you, please come as together we stand and as we sing.